Well, the old joke in our field is, I told my parents when I was a kid that when I grew up, I wanted to be a magician. And they said, well, you can't do both. My name is Ryan Oakes. And for the last 19 years now, I have been a magician and mentalist, performing all over the country and based in New York City.
There is a growing movement of business owners who know that better isn't always bigger. They know that growth isn't necessarily bad. It should just be questioned first. Welcome to the Company of One podcast. I'm your host, Paul Jarvis, author of the book called Company of One. Your ride or die for challenging the current business paradigm of growth hacks and scale at all costs. The show picks up where my book left off and dives deep into why staying small might be the next big thing for your business. Join over 24 million businesses who've used FreshBooks to simplify their invoicing and accounting. Go to freshbooks.com/companyofone, all one word, and enter Company of One in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started with your 30-day free trial. No credit card required. So Ryan, as he mentioned, is a magician and a mentalist. But his resume is truly impressive. He's worked with companies like Twitter, GE, Google. He's been on Harry Connick Jr.'s TV show, covered by Forbes, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. But he's also a very smart business strategist who knows how to nurture business relationships and move forward and then upward in his niche. And like pretty much every other business person that there is, he didn't start out with that impressive resume. He had to work his way up to it.
It really was never in my mind as a full-time career. My parents were super supportive. And, you know, my mom, God bless her, drove me to countless shows when I was a kid magician performing at local birthday parties at the age of, 13, 14, 15. The day I got my driver's license was a huge day in our family. But yeah, I had planned to go to advertising, actually. Out of college, I expected to go into advertising. I was interested in web development and what we called at the time, new media. But that was right when I got out of college, right as the industry took a downturn. And I started sort of trying to make ends meet between, small freelance web design projects and doing events as a magician. I still had some word of mouth from my days living up in this area. I grew up in Connecticut. I live in New York City now. And slowly started discovering that there might be a career path there. Honestly, growing up, because I wasn't thinking of it as a possible career, in my mind, full-time magicians were only, shows in Vegas or, touring nightclubs in Europe. And, honestly, that wasn't really the lifestyle I wanted. But as I started working in New York, I discovered more and more opportunities that I didn't know existed, and started getting a better grasp of the size of the event industry and how a magician might be utilized in various capacities at events, and tried to start sculpting a business plan of sorts, not formally, but in my mind of what a career could look like. I was right out of college, so I had the luxury of being broke and trying to figure out life, as opposed to sitting at a desk job and making a salary and dreaming about leaving my desk job to become a magician, which would have been a completely different challenge. Look, I will go on record on your podcast. Like, I am not the most talented magician in the United States. I think I'm very good at what I do. And I have made thousands and thousands of people utterly amazed. Yet, I think part of my success is navigating this business side and understanding how to get out there and sell it. It's not as sexy as, calling yourself an artist and just sitting back waiting for the phone to ring, but it's the truth in my situation because I am a company of one. I am out there producing my product, so to speak, creating the experiences I want to create for my audiences, but also then have to get people to want it, to buy it, to see it. And, magic is great because you inherently want to talk about it. Like, there's this natural word of mouth that happens with the field of magic. Like, you see something amazing and you want to tell someone about it. And that's one of the inherent benefits of my industry because, people love referring a magician, because it is an experience that they hopefully internalize. You made them feel a moment of wonder, a moment of magic, and they're very open to share that with others if they hear someone is, you know, looking for that type of thing. Unlike something that you might not talk about as much, like a mechanic or something like that, you know.
If you don't want to grow your business and hire a huge staff, you'll need trustworthy and valuable partners to keep your business running smoothly. That's why FreshBooks and their invoicing and accounting software makes sense. You can rely on them to take care of your invoicing and even late payment reminders, as well as tracking all of your expenses. Think of FreshBooks as the accounting department you don't have to hire. The FreshBooks Notification Center is like your very own personal assistant. It always lets you know what's changed in your business since you last logged in and what needs to be dealt with pronto, like overdue payments. So join over 24 million people who use FreshBooks. Try for free for 30 days, no catch or credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/companyofone, all one word, and enter Company of One in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started.
Our industry, and I would have to assume most still, despite the, you know, furtherance of technology and social media and all that, it is a relationship business. And I learned very quickly that by, you know, creating relationships and trying to nurture relationships, I would potentially be presented with new opportunities. You know, for example, when I first moved to New York, I was doing lots of smaller private parties, sort of low-key private parties in people's homes, nothing big budget, nothing overly exciting. And people tend to pigeonhole you in the sense of, you know, if they see you at an event, they generally can't see beyond that, right? For example, if you're doing a house party, they really would not psychologically make the jump, oh, I need to hire this guy for my sales meeting, right? And that was surprising, because as the magician, I was like, oh, do you know how many different events I could work? I know that. But that, you know, people need to see a use case in order to then understand it, right? Like if you do a wedding, people at that wedding will think about, oh, I've got a cousin having a wedding and maybe I'll take their card for their wedding. They don't make the jump necessarily to other types of events. Not everyone. But my point is, I would make a special effort to speak with guests and my hosts and people that I interface with at events to learn about them in the same way they would ask about magic and my career and how I got started in magic. Logical questions that I would get at every event. And I would use those conversations as an opportunity to parlay it into other opportunities. So, in addition to private parties, I also work corporate events. I also work sales meetings and so forth. You know, planting the seed in hopes that they would then connect the dots and think about perhaps opportunities in their circle that I might be appropriate. It really just became an exercise in connecting the dots and sort of identifying when relationships could net out to other opportunities and sort of helping those along.
So what I really enjoyed in this conversation with Ryan was that most people wouldn't think about business and magic in the same thought. But if you do that for a living, like Ryan does, then it's for sure also a business. And Ryan, luckily for him, is great at business. And business, like he said, is really all about who you know at pretty much every level. And I found this as well. And this is anything but being passive and waiting for leads to come in. Magic, like anything else, is a relationship business. And things like likes on social media aren't really nurturing business relationships either. We have to actually put in the time to connect and then keep connecting with other people. We have to actively, not passively, connect and nurture these relationships with others and actually spend time listening to them. So listening to people helps us learn what they might actually need from us. And if we spend all our time talking about sales or about anything or about ourselves when we're trying to sell, then we won't really allow the required space to learn from others how we can actually help them. So Ryan didn't start out by working with Twitter and Google and going on the Harry Connick Jr. show. He started small. He figured out what niche suited his style and personality best. then began building relationships, which helped him move further along. No magic required either. Okay, well, in Ryan's case, I guess maybe, yeah, magic was required. Company of One is hosted by Paul Jarvis. Hey, that's me. If you haven't already, check out my book, also called Company of One, which is available around the world in digital, audio, and physical formats. Thanks again for listening to the show.